Thank you, Mr. President. It's a real honor to address this council today. Thank you for inviting Justice Rapid Response. At Justice Rapid Response, our work is to provide expertise to assist in the investigation of international crimes and grave human rights violations. This includes the investigation mandated by this council. When Justice Rapid Response was created in 2009, the legal framework to recognize and prosecute sexual and gender-based violence had never been stronger. Four Security Council resolutions on women, peace and security had been voted. Yet a gap in the implementation of this framework remained. And this is why Justice Rapid Response, UN Women and the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights came together to provide special expertise in the investigation of sexual and gender-based violence with the intent to deploy it to all investigations mandated by this council. The goal was to make sure that sexual and gender-based violence, which was most of the time ignored in this investigation, would be reported upon and finally addressed. So what are the results of more than 14 years of efforts? Over the past decade, we have seen improvement in at least three important areas. And the first one is that initially, the understanding of sexual and gender-based violence was limited to the sole act of rape. It wasn't seen for what it truly is, a systematic form of violation of human rights amounting in certain cases to international crimes. The professional investigation of this violation made them appear in the investigation reports. It made us all aware that sexual and gender-based violence is prevalent in almost all conflict situations and human rights crises. The second area of improvement is that thanks to the systematic provision of gender expertise, these investigations started to focus on the gender dimension of all human rights violations, and not only on the ones relating to sexual violence. For example, this investigation started to use treaties such as the CEDAW as legal frameworks for the investigation. They compiled gender and age disaggregated data for victims. They used gender neutral language in the reports. That's what we call gender mainstreaming, and it is so essential because without it, we miss key evidence and we fail to understand the root causes of the human rights crisis. Without this gender mainstreaming, we are likely to miss a significant part of victims' experiences, depriving them of the opportunity to actually have their harm recognized in front of this council. Finally, the systematic reporting of gender-based violence and the capacity to adopt a gender-sensitive approach in the investigation has led to another result. And this result is about you, the council members. You're now expecting to read gender-based violence findings as well as an analysis of the gendered impact of human rights violation in these investigations report. Nowadays, if these types of findings are absent from these reports, you are going to consider the investigation as incomplete. And that in itself is an achievement to create that expectation from you. Now, believe me, we have not worked 14 years with UN Women and OHCHR just for the satisfaction of reading gender-sensitive sections in this report. This is not the fundamental goal. The goal is that these reports and their gender-sensitive findings are percolating through the work of all justice and human rights actors, promoting access to justice for victims and survivors. And so the good news is that today, these gender-sensitive findings are quoted by the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court in his indictments. They are quoted by states filing cases in front of the International Court of Justice. They are used by domestic courts. They are also used by civil society organizations to support reparation for survivors and promote transformative justice reforms. That is the effect that we are aiming for. And we are just starting to see the fruits of these efforts. So yes, Mr. President, progress has been made, but unfortunately it remains fragile. So how can we make sure that this gender-sensitive approach becomes the normality? There are three essential points here that I will call the basics to ensure that sustainability. The first one is that you need to include strong language on gender in the resolution's mandating bodies. This is critical to ensure that the investigation starts on a strong footing. Second, the composition of the investigation team matters. There is a need to include and ring-fence the budget for both gender investigative expertise and gender analysis expertise. And this is where we intervene with UN Women and OHCHR to ensure that this expertise is available from day one from the roster of experts of Justice Rapid Response. And finally, you not only need gender expertise in the investigation team, but also gender competent leadership. I cannot insist enough on that point. Without a gender competent leadership, these investigations are not going to give us the result that we want in terms of gender mainstreaming. So now you need to build on these three basics, right? You need to work on solutions to make and address these sustainability questions. And I have two solutions to propose that we are working on at the moment. The first one is the development of a dynamic community of practice of gender experts deployed to investigation mandated by this council. With our partners, UN Women and OHCHR, we facilitate spaces for gender experts to come together and share practices, challenges, and solutions for their work. And then the second dimension is that we capture these lessons learned from our community of practice and translate them into clear and accessible guidelines that can benefit all mandated investigations. So let me conclude by saying that by investigating systematically and professionally all forms of gender-based violence, and by adopting a gender lens in this investigation, we start fulfilling the promise of the Security Council Resolution on Women, Peace and Security. And when I say we, I include you, because the journey to accountability for these crimes and violations often starts here at the Human Rights Council in Geneva. So let's keep working to promote the rights and access to justice of all victims and survivors. We owe it to them. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.